Today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says God, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says God. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the God, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says God. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thus ends the reading.
Many years ago, I heard the Taizé chant, Ubi Caritas, Ubi Caritas et amor. And I went, oh my God, this is just so beautiful. And I thought that was all there was. And then in talking with Chris, he said, oh, there's much more to Ubi Caritas. There's a whole prayer in Latin, and there's a whole different arrangement. And so Chris played that arrangement for me and said, our choir is working on this. And I said, oh my gosh, Chris, this is amazing, because the words line up so well with the scripture that Liz just read for us about God's law being written in our heart, that law of love really coming from our heart. So I said, can we do this in such a way that we sing a bit, I speak a bit, sing a bit, speak? And he said, sure, why not? Because why not? So choir's going to sing, I'm going to talk, choir's going to sing, I'm going to talk, choir's going to sing, I'm going to talk. We'll get out of here by dinner tonight. We should be fine. Wait, Chris, just before you do that. Sorry. Next one. There it is. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. Through the season of Lent, for the Hebrew scriptures have all been about various covenants. First covenant that God makes with the people of the world, with the creation of the world, with all of God's creation with Noah, followed by the covenant with Abraham and Abraham's descendants, followed by the covenant made with Moses, the Ten Commandments. We've looked at each one of those different covenants. And the reality is, covenant is not a language that we use that much. And the whole concept of God's covenant with people is a one that can be a little bit strange. And I think the closest approximation that we have to covenant is the vows that are shared by a couple when they are getting married. The vows that are shared by a couple when they are getting married, when they in essence say, these are the promises that I make to you. These are the promises that I make to you that you can count upon, that I will be faithful to, and that we can build a life upon. And that's the very same concept that happens with each of the covenants, the biblical covenants in which God says to the people, says, these are the promises I make to you, these are the promises I expect from you, and together we can build a life. When I marry couples, one of the first things that I do when I meet with them, and have done this now for over 35 years, and what an amazing privilege that being a minister gives me the opportunity that when everyone else is sitting in a wedding, sitting as part of the audience of a wedding, I get to be right here with the couples, and I get to watch the dance that goes between their eyes with one another when they share their vows to each other. I tell every couple that nothing in the service really counts except for those vows. We can do anything we want, but we need to make sure we do those vows. And then I give them all a document that has a whole bunch of different vows, some that are traditional, some that are more modern, links to where you can find more vows. And I tell them, choose one that makes the most sense for who you all are. Or take a bit from this one and a bit from this one and cut and paste and put it together, or write your own. And for most of the time that I have had the privilege of marrying people, for most of the time, they chose either A or B, one set of vows or cut and paste from a bunch of different vows. But lately, in the last 5 years or so, almost every wedding that I officiate is with people who have written their own vows. And sometimes I have to work with them to make sure that these are vows and not just declarations of love. But these are actually promises, because the truth of the matter is, every marriage that is successful probably has some point in their marriage in which they've had to go back to the vows that they said years before and said, do you remember? Do you remember when we said this to each other? Because life can be hard, and sometimes we need to be reminded of what we promised to one another so we could build a life on that. And so most couples do that, and I love that, because they are living into what we just heard from Liz with the words from Jeremiah, in which Jeremiah says to them, God says to the people, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. When people write their own vows, they are writing from their hearts. And there's nothing wrong with those traditional vows, nothing wrong with the ones that, but they're somebody else's words. And when people do their own vows, it is from their heart. It is from their heart that they are speaking and saying, this you can count on. I have plumbed the depths of my heart, the depths of my love, to tell you this. Some people say that the longest journey that any of us will go through is about 18 inches long. It's the journey from our head to our heart. That journey from which we know the things that we want to do, we know the things of how we want things to be, but it takes a while to make that journey to our heart. When Jeremiah is speaking these words to the people of Israel, they are in exile at this time. They've heard the covenant with Noah. They've heard the covenant with Abraham. They've heard the Ten Commandments, the covenant with Moses. These are their holy words. They have heard these words, but the truth of the matter is, the historical record would tell us that they struggled. They struggled to live up to their part of the vows, to their part of the covenant. They struggled to allow that covenant to be written into their hearts. And then about 2,000 years ago, there is a carpenter from Nazareth that is wandering around through Palestine, which for the Roman Empire is some backwater province with a whole bunch of recalcitrant and weird people. And this carpenter is wandering around, and people begin to follow him. They begin to follow him, I'm convinced, because his words are brilliant. They begin to follow him because they are able to see a person who is able to take the brokenness that we have in our body and our spirit and infuse the wholeness that is still waiting. They are able to see that, but more than anything else, they are witnessing one who has embodied the law that is love in his very essence, his very way of being. They are seeing the words that Jeremiah has called to, in which God says, I will write my law within their heart. They are seeing that law of love lived in this person. And it's contagious. And one person hears Jesus and watches and walks with him and says to a friend, you got to hear this. And that friend comes and follows, and then they tell their aunties and uncles, and the aunties and uncles come, and the aunties and uncles go back to the community, go back to the neighborhood. And it is not hard for me to imagine as well the brilliance of this carpenter from Nazareth, whose words are brilliant, whose deeds are brilliant, but whose very essence is an essence in which the heart comes forward, a heart of love. So the choir just sang what they experienced was those words of ubi caritas et amor Deus ibies, where love and charity are, there God is. That is what they saw. It is not hard for me to imagine that as the word spread from one to the next and one to the next, you have whole communities. It is not actually hard for me to imagine the scenes that we have in the Bible that tell us that there was a time on a mountaintop with 1,000 or more people there. They are listening to Jesus speak. They are listening to him speak, and they are mesmerized by his words. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Mesmerized by the stories he tells, the parables he tells, mesmerized by it all, and mesmerized by his presence. And they are there all of a sudden. They recognize when he stops and tries to gather some food together for his closest followers that they've been there for hours and they're hungry. It is not hard for me to imagine as well that of those thousands that may have been there, that many of them may have come with food, and that many others may have come with other things to share. And it's not hard for me to imagine as well that scene in which, after listening, after experiencing this heart filled with love in their presence, that they're sitting next to a person they may have never known, and some open up their bag where they have fish and they have bread, and they say, would you like some? And this person who's over there who had nothing to offer but a hug and a smile says, sure, thank you, and offers a hug and a smile. And this one that is over there who did not have any food but had some wisdom to share, had something in which they had a thought that I couldn't believe what he just said. What about this? And all of a sudden, there is a community that is being formed based upon that heart that is filled with love. It's not hard to imagine that, nor is it hard to imagine that one day while he is speaking and telling one amazing truth after another, all of a sudden he stops and he looks, and you can see that he's trying to locate a sound. Sounds that have become background to all of us, but it's a sound, and you can imagine the smile that goes on Jesus's face when he sees a bird in the tree that is making a song, and he looks at everyone there and he says, that bird resplendent in all of its beauty, neither reaps nor sows, and yet God makes sure it is fed and taken care of. So is it true for all of you? Resplendent in all of your beauty, God will care for you as you are able to care for one another. And then looks around and sees the lilies of the field that are right there and says, look at them. They are arrayed with more glory than Solomon in his greatest finery. They are filled with beauty and wonder. And then he looks from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. And he says, and so too are you. So too are you. Let us rejoice in it as our choir just sang for us. Words that are harder for me to get my lips around. Exultemus et in ipso jucunde mor. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And imagine, if you could, not just a day following in his footsteps, that there are those that spent a week. There are those who spent not just a week, but months. There are those that spent not just months, but those months became years. Can you imagine what your life would be like spending 3 years with this one whose heart is so filled with love? Can you imagine how that would transform who you are? It's not hard for me to see why it is that at one point Jesus looked at those who had been with him for a while and he said, look, what I'm doing, you can do. And he sends them out two by two into the neighboring villages and the neighboring communities. And he says, take nothing with you but your love. Take nothing with you but your love. Go and knock on doors and share your love. Expect nothing in return, for love is never defined by what you get from it. Love is simply that which you share. Allow your love to go out into this world. And two by two, they go out into the villages and they go out into the communities and they come back and they said, it happened. We too were able to see people who are broken and bring wholeness in their lives. We too were able to share love. We too were able to be in places where people were willing to share their hearts filled with love that had been nurtured by him, now becomes the love that they share with this world. And of course, when you spent that much time with someone, you begin to recognize that it's not always hunky-dory, that in fact love is indeed such a beautiful and wonderful thing, but it is also very difficult. Is that me? No, back there. But my butt was ringing. And they feel that love is also hard and difficult, and believe me, on that hill in Gethsemane, when he breathes his last, how much it must have felt like all was for naught. And yet days later, the tomb is empty and their hearts are filled. And they realize that that love that they had experienced is now within them, is now something that they can share even more so. And they begin to fan out across all of Palestine that was there beyond Jerusalem to all of Palestine. And they begin to share their love with one another. And soon enough, Palestine isn't big enough for all of that love. And so they begin to go out beyond into the rest of the Roman Empire. And over the years and over the centuries, it is a message of love that begins to be spread. And 100 years ago, a band of young, merry young people decided that it was time that they could change the world as well. And they came to 1212 University Avenue eventually. And they said, this is the place where we can gather together with hearts that are filled with love and transform the world. This is the place, and we can pass it on from generation to generation, because the truth of the matter is, yes, love is difficult. Yes, love is hard. Yes, love hurts. But hearts that have been shifted and changed by love will never go back to the hearts of stone like the tablets that the law was once written upon. Those hearts will forever be beating with love for a world and for the community in which we find ourselves. For they too understood those words that were just sung by our choir, et ex corde diligamus nos sincero, and from a sincere heart, let us love one another. From a sincere heart, let us love one another. Here's the truth. We don't yet have time travel. I wish we did, because if we had time travel, I would request one day in Palestine 2,000 years ago to follow in the footsteps of this carpenter from Nazareth. I would request that just to be in the presence of that love. But since we don't yet have time travel, it may not happen in my lifetime. It may not even ever happen, but who knows with the way things are happening these days. I need to be content as well to be amongst those who will live the very message that we have been singing. Ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est. Where love and charity abound, there God is.
Amen.